Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Reverse Cowboy.
Kevin.
Well, ever since I did the podcast, right, these new followers, some proper freaky followers. So yeah,
it's a mental health support group, really, our podcast. That's all it is. Bruce Borsife has said, how does it feel to have a tribute podcast to you, Kev? Kev obviously doesn't listen to our podcast, or so he'd never have come back in this room, because every week we're like, no, man, I love Kevin. I love Kevin.
Really?
Yeah, we're always talking about, it's become a studio joke. We're always like, I'm always like, oh God, has Kevin rang you? Last week, he said to me, he goes, I thought I was seeing you on Thursday. I was like, what? And he's like, Kev's premiere. And I was like, what? And I'm really gullible. Yeah. He's like, Kev said you were coming to the premiere and you didn't come. But I was like, did you go? You were invited.
There's a skill to lying.
No, you're so good at it, though.
I'm fucking amazing.
Yeah. So I was like, what? And obviously, he saw the look on my face go down. I was like, I've not heard from him, to be honest. I heard from him and he's like, oh, it was a great night. And
I tell a lie, like, as if you're thinking while you're
Kev said your phone was broke. I was like, no,
so
my phone's not broke.
He said not to ring you because your phone's broke, but I thought I was going to see. And he was all tears. He was like, Kevin really have a premiere? I was like, yeah, I thought I was going to see you there.
Has the film out yet?
No, it won't be until the end of the year.
Fucking hell, it takes time, doesn't it?
It does take time, but also, like, when you're releasing a film, is what I'm learning now, is that, like, if someone else has got a film and it's in any way similar to yours, or if it's in the same demographic as yours, you need to
wait.
It's like chicken. It's who's going to step out?
That's where the phrase "back it up, princess" comes from.
Yeah,
it's like that Ben Affleck film he made. It was like a good film, then he had to delay it for a few years because Madeleine McCann got nicked.
Yeah, well, yeah. This is it.
She got nicked. She's in jail.
In jail for. Yeah.
It's all they know their algorithms and their whatever. I mean, we had a screen test the other day. We had a screening sort of with an audience, and the film scored really high. And there's loads of things that they put into it. And it's all like and it's like an actuary sort of thing.
Well, how they decide the diary of coming out.
Yeah, and then they send it over to America, and will America like it and all that? So,
will Americans get it? Is it very British?
Well, I mean, I need subtitles to understand it, and it's British, you know. So it's an urban hood comedy, you know.
I mean, you, Leo, growing up in the harsh streets of South London, you'll know the lingo.
No, that is a pet hate of mine. Them white guys who walk around like, yeah, like some plantain. Honestly.
No guy does that.
I will not and cannot listen to it. I'm sorry, mate. You are that. We're talking about cultural appropriation. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
There's no difference of what we've done, though, by having a sort of, you know, a Cockney accent or whatever. It's a survival thing, isn't it? It's like, whatever, you just do it.
But that's not, how people talk where you grew up. It probably is, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm terrible. I've actually had to look into it myself because, you know, my wife used to say to me, she'd say, who the hell are you? Because I'd be in a room with people like Poppies and Tims and whatever, and I'd be like, absolutely, no, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd get in the cab and I'd go, all right, mate, can you take me down the Old Kent Road? And I don't know who I am, because you've got that ability. I've got that ability to literally be whoever I want to be. It's a survival, but it's a survival technique. You know, it's a subliminal thing that I do.
And I'll tell you that I've got a couple of mates who've got a voice. It's their voice, and then they've got the voice they use when they speak to their bird.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's horrible.
Well, everyone's got
when
that,
they though, take that phone call.
Hey, beep, beep.
Yeah, no, honestly, one of my best mates, his voice comes up a notch. And it's, wow, fuck.
Imagine how bad it is when he's at home.
Oh, yeah, must
brutal.
Be.
Brutal.
Brutal. Reverse
cowboy. Yeah, so what have you been up to, Kev? Getting bloody divorced.
Getting divorced out of my face. And I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
No.
It's one of those things that you just think, I mean, people talk about getting divorced. And I was one of those guys, if I sort of saw a guy and he'd be like, I'm going through a divorce.
Yeah.
She's throwing me out of the house. I sort of move away from him. I'd be like, never mind, mate. Yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah, because you never think it's going to happen to you. Otherwise, if you did, you'd never get married, would you? Let's be honest.
You're obviously rich enough to get married at one point.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was rich enough to get married at one point. I'll tell you what, I'm not rich enough to get divorced. That's the truth. I mean, I think most people are rich enough to get married if they don't do Chateau in France or whatever, basically 80 grand on a party or whatever.
Pure luxury.
The thing with divorce is that, and I'm soaking all this stuff up at the moment about divorce because I'm going through it. And it's
sorry for bringing it up.
It happens to many people.
It happens to the majority of marriages.
It happens to the majority of people. Like, my parents are still together. They've been together 49 years. They've been married.
Are they religious?
They are.
That helps, I think.
They're not deeply religious. They don't really go to church, but they were brought up with those values.
I think that helps people stay together. I don't know, just somewhere in the back of their head, they're like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But also, it probably keeps people together. It really shouldn't be together.
Well, it's true. I mean, the thing is, right, is that every relationship is not perfect, yeah? No. And they're just not. They're just not perfect at all. And you have to...
Mine and Leo's.
Not
at least
like a marriage,
in a honeymoon period.
But you're like not like a marriage in the sense that you actually have sex.
Well,
so
yeah, we do exactly. And now it's Pride Month. I just wanted to talk about that quite a lot.
Well, it is Pride Month, and we shouldn't really skip past it. But
do you feel proud, Leo?
I'm always proud, but at the expense of sounding like an absolute fucking cunt. do we need Pride Month? It's not like the last 11 months we've been like, yeah, let's not talk about them.
But I think you've got to look at history and that. Recent history, gay people have been marginalised. We've got to celebrate them now.
You wouldn't want to take Pride Month away from them, but it's not like, let's be honest.
The only bad thing about
it's been Pride a few years.
Yeah, but the only bad thing about it is when you like see shitty corporations, like big companies, and they're like, happy Pride, everyone. And then next month, they're just like, I fucking hate gays.
So when I was watching a very well-known British airline advert the other day.
Yeah.
And they roll this one out around this time every year. And
flying
it's
through a rainbow or something.
Flying through a rainbow and everyone's sort of super camp on the flight and everything. Mm. And I just thought, without them saying, like, it's Pride Month, they are saying, hey, we're down with the gays, just so you know. And then that advert disappears until they wheel it out again next year.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck about anyone.
They don't care about anything.
I'm 100% down with the gays. No problem with the gays.
I know you are.
Well, like, I mean, the thing
is,
right?
You know what I'm not down with? The fucking alphabet mafia.
Oh,
you're
God,
I'm
getting your
fuck
shit
off.
Again.
No, bollocks. I'm not having it.
Shut up. Well, it don't affect you.
Yeah,
it does.
It doesn't, really.
Leo, where are you from?
Greenwich.
So you're Greenwich. So you're South London. You're like me. So I'm from that area. I'm working class from that area. And I was brought up in a time, so I was born in the 80s, and it was like, we watched adverts on television that was saying, like, AIDS was the most terrifying thing. Mm. And you know, I went to school where, you know, the humour was brutal. Yeah. It was absolutely brutal. I was bullied at school as well. Like, it was full-on brutal.
And what,
it was,
for dropping your gay card?
I remember coming through school and there being gay kids at college, and I remember being like, wow, they're just openly saying that they're gay. Are they
holding hands?
Aren't they terrified?
You know, their heads kicked it.
And do you know what?
They got battered.
Well, one of the kids in my class was a full-on drag artist, right? And he's not with us anymore, sadly. But I remember they would just look at me, and I was so kind of ignorant to everything, even though I'd been in show business. I mean, when I was in Grange Hill, the guys that dressed us were gay men. And the women that dressed the girls were lesbians. It was a gay profession. It was a really gay profession. Only loads of gay people, but it wasn't really talked about because there was still this stigma of, even then, it was a private thing.
Yeah, when we were young, it was. And that's not that long ago in the scheme of things. So that's why we have to have Pride Month, I think.
But what I'm saying is that we're now, like, my mates who were gay that I look at I had loads when I was at college, and obviously being an actor and whatever. Yeah. I look at those guys and I think, my God, I think back and I think how brave they were. Because we would go out to nightclubs and genuinely dangerous for them to be gay. And so as I got older, I started to really admire their bravery, because I was thinking, if I was gay, the places that we were hanging out, and they were so out and so proud, and they were tough. I mean, some of my mates would get in like proper punch-ups with straight guys, and
I love a big tough gay bloke.
Yeah, they were properly
experienced fighters,
but they were properly fearless. No, and
how scary that was for them, though. Yeah, it's
terrifying, terrifying. And if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for those guys really blazing that trail, then it wouldn't be so easy. We wouldn't have Pride adverts and whatever on television now. And like, my little brother's gay, he's 20 years younger than me, and really struggled with it. He said to me, this was quite a homophobic house when I was growing up, before he was out. It's because of the tone and the jokes and whatever. And
I suppose you're a lot older than him as well. Like, you're from a different generation, aren't you?
Different generation. Yeah. And look, it wasn't like we were specifically sort of... made gay jokes. We were a really comedy household. We made jokes about everyone. But he said to me, it made me feel like I was odd because the general tone was like...
Well, we used to, in our generation, when you were, I'm sure it was the same down south, but up north, like, if something was shit, you'd say it was gay. You'd be like, that's gay. So you just used that word. And you weren't ever thinking about being homophobic, but just that being in the culture is, like, extremely shit for a gay person. No,
look, we're all coming from we make a living out of comedy. That's what we do. Well, so you know, my thing, we basically, I've always feel like any subject, whatever it is, as long as it's funny, it's off limits politically. If I was a school teacher or I was a politician, then I need to toe the party line. But my job is to make you laugh, and that is it. And if I fail at that, then by all means, send me to comedy prison. But if I make jokes that people say, I feel a bit triggered by that, or I feel a bit offended by that, it's like, well, that's all that's happening to you. You are not dying, and I'm not causing...
Just don't watch it.
But, like, so that my edibles person is a trans woman. Yeah. Used to be a man, he's now a woman, trans. Yeah. But I was speaking to her, and she said, I'm almost... It's going to just fuck this off now. And this was our own words. It's been hijacked. And it makes sense, because I was at Gay Pride I was in Manchester last year, and it happened to be Gay Pride. And I made
by accident. That old chestnut.
Well, Pride itself, love is love. It's about who you fancy, right? And fancy who you want, love is love.
Yeah.
So you got lesbians, gays, and bisexuals. But now you've got the TQ plus, blah, 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 all this other bollocks on the end of it, right? I was like, genuine trans, who were trans 10 years ago when it was hard, when it was brave to do it, before you were absolutely bulletproof, you must fucking hate it, because it's gone from being a love is love and love who you want and absolutely, to now you've got a load of misfits who are still probably fucking virgins who are just looking for some form of identity with the old...
But that's generalising, because there'll be loads of them who actually now can just feel like they can just say they're trans and that's that, and they're just minding their own business, doing the thing.
Well, what I'm saying is, from my viewpoint...
The internet's full of knobheads, basically, in all sectors, and they're all annoying.
Yeah.
No, but this is the internet.
Humanity is annoying.
It's a cunt farm.
Yeah. When I was looking down Canal Street at the gay pride going on from a distance, you had the gays and the lesbians and in love is love, and they're all, you know, and then you just had a load of fucking gamers with blue hair walking around, like, it's kind of latching onto your... Fuck that. Let them have their thing.
Yeah.
It's not about... It's not
get on Trans Street. Get off Gay Street.
Like, no, but what I'm saying... Exactly. Tranel Street. No,
when I lived in Manchester, someone changed Canal Street. They pulled the letters off, so it said anal treat.
I know what you're saying.
I don't think you do. What I'm saying is, it's like...
offended on behalf of gay and lesbian people.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
They're probably not offended. Probably not
I think they are.
How many of you
are? Well, let's be honest. Spokespeople are a minority of everything, aren't they? I mean, I know trans people that just want to get on with their life and just live their life and it'd be all right. It's just their personal thing.
Yeah.
But then I also know people that are quite vocal about it, and I think, well... good for them as well, because they're trying to raise awareness for something or other,
or probably for other people, so that they can feel like they can come out.
Exactly. So,
But, I just think I just don't give a shit, to be honest.
What is missing in humanity right now is just compassion. That's it. It's just compassion. And that goes for them towards, you know, someone like me who's like a white, middle-aged, straight guy.
Mm.
It's like we have to have compassion for people's ignorance as well. Because we've been brought up in a time where we're trying to download all this new software. So it's just all about compassion, really.
I've got compassion for the white, middle-aged, straight guy who can't get a fucking gig because he's at the bottom of the ladder and he's being sandwiched.
Are you talking about you? What gigs do you want?
Yeah, well,
let's say if I wanted to do stand-up.
Right?
There's no way I can get on that. Well,
it's really hard to do any creative job like that now because there's so many people who want to do it. It's like being in a band.
Well, yeah, and there's a certain quote. You know,
I get what you're saying.
He's brave enough to go, straight white geese are funny.
I've seen loads of straight white geezers who are dead funny at comedy clubs, though. They are. They're still out there. It's like that Peep Show joke. Music's full.
Funny. We haven't ceased to be funny, have we?
No.
There is a massive issue at the moment where I'm feeling it myself with work, where I'm probably 70% down on my usual revenue because I'm a white, straight, middle-aged man. But I do feel like what gives me the right to get take umbrage at this, even though this has been my livelihood for 35 years, when it was an impenetrable, pardon the pun, thing for gay people, black people to get into because it was dominated by straight, middle-aged white men.
It's still shit for you, though.
It is still shit for me, but then you know, it just means that I can't do this job with the frequency that I like to do it, but I can also diversify.
You're a good actor, so have you not considered just pretending that you now identify as a lesbian in a wheelchair? just get a load of work.
Just to identify as trans, just to get a gig. I'm sure there are people that probably do think about doing that.
No, a lot of people do it to prove a point. Just bowl straight into the women's toilets, wait till you get pulled up. What are you doing here? Fuck off, mate. I'm a woman. And you can't really argue with
it. I can imagine you doing that soon. Getting so angry.
It's a bit cheap.
I just feel like the problem with humanity in general is people aren't willing to accept anything. But it's opinions, basically.
Yeah.
And my thing is, look, we have to be compassionate. We have to be compassionate about everything. That goes in the same way as my mum. She's 57, and she starts every sentence now with, "Well, if this makes me racist, no." And I'm like, well, you know what? It does a little bit, mum. Mm. But because of the time you grew up in and the media that you were fed,
57. We're nearly 57. She's not even that old.
Yeah, I was going to say, young mum.
No, she's 67.
I was going to say,
about 67. Yeah, she's 67. No, and so her hard drive is old. She's on Windows 98, whereas we're all on Yosemite or whatever.
The same, man.
Yeah. So when someone like Nigel Farage jumps up and he goes, well, I actually happen to blame brown people coming over here, taking our jobs, people immediately go, yeah, that's what I think. Because they've subliminally been fed that info in the Daily Mail and whatever for the last 50 years. So that's on their hard drive. That's way back in their back files, and then suddenly it comes to the front. And the reason why they vote for people like Nigel Farage is because they feel that they are not only are they not allowed to say these things, they're not allowed to think it. And so, if we had compassion towards
them,
people,
as well,
and we don't get furious and fire Tracy from accounts because she made an off-colour joke at the water cooler, if we actually go, well, you know what, Tracy, the thing is that maybe there's no inclusion. And I think that separateness, because we are all one, that separateness is what's dangerous come polling day.
Yeah.
Because people go in and they silently put the boot in. It's like, where are all the Tories when we're voting? There's silent Tories everywhere. And then come polling day, the Tories win. Because
right,
they're sitting there, they've got their thoughts, they've got their beliefs, but they feel that they can't say it. The thing that I feel is like I would consider myself a true liberal in the sense that I don't care what anyone does as long as children don't get hurt or people don't get hurt. As long as no one gets hurt, I don't care what you do. But that comes with a price because it means that there are the things that I don't agree with that I have to swallow because I'm a true liberal. So there's this sort of like Guardian reader type who would consider themselves as a left-wing liberal voter, they're not. If you read the comments in the Guardian section, it's
one thing I've learned from doing this podcast with Leo and us two having different sort of natural positions, but also acknowledging we don't really know what's going on. Just talking about it as like mates is that both sides are loaded with cunts, and like most of the left, who I used to think I'm more politically aligned with them, it's just performative. I'll be at the march, I'll be at the thing, I'll be shouting about all this shit, I'll be posting it on Facebook. But when it comes down to it, their lifestyle choices and things like that show that they don't actually give a fuck about real people.
Well, it's virtue signalling. Yeah. I had a really good mate of mine who was really like, he made a point of putting anyone up if there was any sort of off-colour jokes or especially jokes around race or whatever. And he gave me a lift home one day and drove through Brixton and he locked his car as he drove through Brixton. Yeah. And I went, are you locking your car? He went, you can't be too careful. You've got to be careful around here, mate. And it just made me think.
It's performative. It's just for them to feel better about themselves. People have to start getting on. You have to start getting on with your neighbours who might vote Tory. You have to make friends with them.
Absolutely.
And,
and
we have to find common ground and be respectful.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, if we just shout at each other on the internet all day, nothing gets done and everything gets worse.
Absolutely. Yeah. And but also, it's like, we have to understand that, like, but if we all, if we all were the same and we all did the same thing, it would be boring. Like, it'd be boring. There's art in the conflict. And it's and me as a comedian, what I understand is that there is no comedy without conflict. There's no joke if everyone's paying each other compliments. So this is why I feel like we need to fight for it. Just for comedy alone, is because being British is something that I'm really proud of. And wherever I go around the world, the main currency that I have got to trade is that I'm a Brit and I'm funny. It knocks it out of the park in every room,
well,
wherever
you can actually
I go.
Pay for meals.
No, but if I go to Australia, if you go, well, any Brit bloke who goes to Australia is always the funniest bloke in the room, and if you go to America, wow, you guys are so funny. I mean, you're hilarious. It's because we've had so much pain that we are funny. But a dark sense of humour, if I make jokes that are dark, it doesn't mean that I condone it. It's how I process my fears around that subject.
Sometimes you've got to laugh or cry at tragedy, haven't you? And with tragic events and tragic situations in life, if you laugh at them, you take the power away from them and you otherwise it fucks you up. I remember your show, you used to do stuff that you wouldn't get away with now, didn't you? You used to do things that, like Fred West Side Story, didn't you?
Which is Schindler's List 2, Electric Boogaloo. can you imagine just pitching that now?
And it is funny, and you have to... Look, what happened in the Holocaust...
Everybody knows it's the worst thing ever. We have to get something from it.
Lovely chan, Kevin. You've been on holiday.
Just been in England, mate. I'm just unemployed.
But
the, I feel more I have a sense of duty to do it, because I feel if I just sit here and join the gang of everyone else, sitting there quietly, just hoping to get... cast in something and not rock the boat, then what I'm doing is I'm not fighting for my livelihood and for the future of people coming through, you know. I think people need to say, look, this is comedy, it is art, and you have to leave it alone. No one complains about new Damien Hirst pictures cutting whatever in half, and it's art. This is art, what we do. Reverse cowboy. I'm pretty sure I went on a date with someone, but I got a feeling she might have been a porn star, but just didn't let on. And she was sort of saying, "Oh yeah, you know, we had this kind of this thing in with filming," and I was like, "Oh yeah. And it was me
that
and
might have been a hint, yeah.
six guys, and we made this," and I was like, "Wait," and I didn't. It's not until I was sort of like, you know, on my way home. I was thinking...
Started putting two and two together.
Yeah, you know...
Six guys filming.
Like Bruce Willis at the end of Sixth Sense when he realises he's dead. You know, like in a... You know, oh, she's a porn star.
Yeah.
Imagine having sex with a porn star, though, because you'd just be like, oh, God, she had a massive dick last week and he was way better at it than me. He's a professional. Yeah. I'm rubbish at this.
Sometimes I watch porn and I'll just pause it and just to get a look, just to say, is that bigger than mine, or is that
be knob up against the flat screen?
Right? Yeah, and I sort of think to myself, imagine if like my acting work dried up and there was the only thing that was left for me was to become a porn star, and you just think, would it look like that on camera? I don't know.
How skimp would you have to be for them to say to you, right, we've got your job, Kev, you get some money, but you've got to do the entire Treasure Island Muppets film again, but it's porn and you're an adult, and you're fuck all the Muppets.
Well, to be honest, mate, I mean, I have done a few films that were borderline anyway. some of them were sort of, you know...
Almost, fucking puppets?
Almost there. No, Muppet Treasure Island, that wasn't.
It wasn't, no.
It wasn't, but...
wasn't
that
Jim Henson's racist
There
stuff.
Was other ones. There was other ones. And
I'll have to check these out.
Yeah.
Reverse cowboy. Someone broke into your car this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not very nice, is
what
it?
What it is, I've got a car, right, this old, and so it doesn't have any of the new systems on it, and I think... Some of these car thieves, they've got They've got these gadgets that can open cars. And where I live in Brighton...
It's like a vacuum thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, sometimes homeless people just get in there and have a kip, I think. And so I get into the car and I think, hang on, why is the visor like that? Why is the seat back? Hang on, the glove box is like, oh, shit, someone's broken into the car.
You don't leave anything in it, do you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my car's a bit of a mess. I mean, for all I know, there could have been all sorts in there. And I won't know for 2 months when I go, has anyone seen... my Rolex watch.
Oh, shit, yeah.
See, I've got a Rolex watch. I said Rolex watch, but I don't have one. Has anyone seen my Swatch watch?
See, I used to have a Citroën 2CV6 when I was a student, like those little weird upside-down pram cars.
Yeah.
You know, one of them. And that had, like, a soft-top roof. And I lived in Salford and, like, Manchester, so... there's no point locking. If I locked it, they'd just rip it open and
just
go in.
It open.
So I just left all the doors open all the time, just nothing in it. I had a steering lock on so no one could nick it. Anyway, like one morning I had to drive to uni. I was living in Manchester, I had to get to Salford and got in the car. It was like freezing cold day and started driving along. And then all of a sudden, said a fart. Turned around, there's a fucking homeless guy just waking up on the back seat. I swear to God, and I was like, what the fuck? Like
that. Wow.
And he was like, he went, oh, sorry, mate. Where am I, mate? Sorry, mate.
He woke up and farted.
He went,
what woke him
up? Wow.
And I shit myself, and he's like, oh, sorry, mate. Oh, I just wanted so much sleep, mate. And I was like, I'd pulled over and was like, get the fuck out.
I think that's what happened to me. I think that's what it is. I think they're pissed. It's nighttime, and they're just looking for somewhere
fair
to
enough,
kiff.
Yeah, but
fair enough.
Don't fart. Just don't nick anything.
If you were a homo, which is my, just to save time, that's my short version for homeless person.
Homeless person. All right, okay, I'm glad we cleared that up.
If you were a raging homo, where would you be homo? Seaside.
Hampstead.
It's got to be somewhere. Yeah, Hampstead is a really good one. There was a guy who did it, wasn't
there? You just even feel even more homo because of the extreme wealth.
No, but you've got to be in nature. You've got to have like access to nature and
Ibiza,
posh people to rob.
Ibiza would be a good homeless spot, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
there's loads in like Venice Beach just look like surfers and they just bum around and pick up fags.
I used to live in Venice and there's just millions of homeless people there. And I haven't lived there for a while now and apparently it's off the scale, the homelessness. It's really bad. And a mate of mine is an actor and I was talking to him on the phone. We were FaceTime and he lives in Venice Beach. And I was back in the UK and he said to me, this is lockdown. And he said, Kev, he went, if you could see what I can see right now, and he just reversed the camera, and there was a guy with his little weights, just trying to do his little workout, his little lockdown workout, and there was just a homeless guy next to him, just screaming into the sky, taking his shit, right next to him, and he's trying to do burpees, and I just thought, and he said it's fucking, he said it's like Mad Max here, he said it's gone fucking mental.
Is it possible to shit and scream?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it was happening. Like, it was in the process of... But it's a bit like pissing and farting.
Well, it depends what you're shitting. I think I may have done that in the past.
Yeah.
Shitting and scream.
Yeah.
When you're shitting out of 50p or something.
Well, you're like a sort of hedgehog.
Is it possible to run and have a shit at the same time?
Yeah, that woman did it, didn't she, in the marathon?
Oh, she did, yeah.
Well,
no, she stopped.
Do you know what? I mean, I don't like talking about shit stories, but for a man of my age, I actually have too many, really.
Really?
Yeah, it's just something that's happened to me a few times, and running was the big catalyst. I started
very
running.
Very loose sphincter.
Yeah, very loose sphincter. Well, I was a child actor, so it comes to the territory, mate. You know what I mean? Not many people have a tight one when they're, if you're a child actor.
Remember Kermit's dressing room?
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Well, it's Fozzie Bear is the worst one. But anyway.
Big furry cock.
We won't talk about that. I mean, his story's about to be released in the Sun anyway. But, so basically I started running early in the morning, about 5 o'clock, before the kids woke up and everything. I was running one morning along Brighton Beach, and I suddenly was like, oh.
Ooh.
Hello. Oh, my God. And then I remembered, I'm quite regular. And so I was running along the beach and I was thinking, I hope this public toilet is open. And I got to the first one and it was closed. What? So I thought, next one, which is quite far on the beach, run to the next one. I'm thinking, this one needs to be.
So basically, you're sprinting around Brighton looking for a public toilet.
Looking for a public toilet. I'm completely unprepared. And
it's Brighton though. There's no like stray butt plugs on the floor you could use to.
Oh, there's loads. There's loads of those, but you don't want to touch them.
Rinse it in the sea.
Well, I wasn't. I haven't thought this through like you have, right. Clearly. But the third one, I thought, if this isn't open, then I am shitting. Yeah. There's nothing to stop it.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to go.
Well, I got there. It was closed. Mm. So I literally squat down beside the side of this public toilet.
You close it. I'll shit outside it.
Yeah, but it just... I needed it so badly, it just went... And it came out in one, just like a cow pack. It went... literally went... like that, just came out. And I was like, Jesus. And as I'm there, it's, bear in mind, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm right by the old pier, which has crumbled into the sea. And this guy walks in front of me, and he's got a telephoto lens, right? And he's taking pictures of the thing full crumbling into the ocean. And he's talking to himself, because it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and there's no one else around. And he's going, wow, that is spectacular. Talking about the old pier, and he's going, that is a real thing of beauty.
Well,
and he's talking, just, and he's got his telephoto lens out, and he's just clicking away at this thing. And I'm literally lucky I wasn't downwind of him, but I was literally just behind him, about 5 feet away. And I thought, mate, the best picture is right behind you.
Yeah.
You, this is the one. This is actually worth money.
This is the money.
Wildlife photographer of the year is you bent over. And
a proper wildlife shot.
Yeah.
A proper wildlife shot.
That sound effect you did, it's so accurate because, if you know, like, you got kids, right?
Mm.
My daughter, when she must have been 6 months old, I was changing her nappy. And so she was, you know, nappy changing distance away from me, like half a metre, kind of sitting there. And she did a... And it was a flying shit. And it landed and stuck to my leg. God's honest truth, a flying shit. And it
amazing.
Stuck to my leg. And it was that exact sound.
I'd drop her straight off at the orphanage if did that.
You should wipe it off, though, now, Leo, because it's been there a couple of years. And,
sentimental. Listen to this for a rumour.
Like keeping her teeth.
Listen to this for a what must be a Chinese whisper. Someone told me that... Philip Schofield turned up to work with dry shit on his neck once. It can't be true, can it?
Why can't it be true? I mean, in this day and age, you know, I just feel like anything's possible.
He looks like a clean man, even though his intentions aren't. He looks like he's meticulously clean.
We've all had a piss in the sea, all had a piss in the sea.
Yeah.
Have you ever sea shit?
Yes, I have. I have.
I haven't.
I have, and I'm proud. And it's actually the best. It's the best place to go.
Why not?
It's nature.
Yeah.
I mean, the Tories are filling the sea with shit anyway. You might as well add to it.
Well, I've stopped.
It's essentially in Italy. You've got to do it.
I've stopped eating oysters in this country now for that reason.
Really?
Because I'm aware of this sewage and, like, Whitstable oysters used to be the best because
full of turds.
All this sewage they're pumping into the ocean. Surely them oysters can't be any good now.
You get a little pearl of
shit. Maybe they taste better. Yeah. Maybe that's
fertilizer.
Isn't that basically that's what prawns eat? Prawns just feed on shit,
do they?
And they're delicious.
Do they just eat fish shit?
Are they? A bit like oysters, prawns. It's not the prawn that's delicious.
Well, they're bottom feeders,
sauce.
Aren't they?
I don't believe that prawns are of this planet, and also octopus. They look more alien than like the aliens that we get told visit us.
Yeah,
you know,
look and seals is.
Yeah,
they can't be from here.
Have you seen the clips on at the moment about the orcas that are attacking boats and sinking?
Yeah, Gladys. It's Gladys in Gibraltar.
See, proper horror movie stuff.
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's well good. I mean, I'm
orcs.
On the
orcas.
Orcs.
Yeah,
get off your boats. They're gonna sink your boat.
Gladys. So Gladys the orca. Supposedly she's been hit by a boat at some point, and she's vengeful. She's so annoyed that she's now training the younger orcas to go and kick the fuck out of the or tail the fuck out of the
She's probably just like a sort of jilted wife or something. She's probably like, but maybe caught her a male orca husband having an affair or something. She's just gone. This is it. She's gone full on.
She's like Eileen Wuornos of the sea.
Yeah,
destroying rich men's boats.
Did you ever watch the thing about Sea World thing? What was it called? Blackfish.
Yeah, it wasn't very pleasant, was it?
I watched that though, and it really did dark me out because I was like, they're so intelligent. Yeah. Dolphins and orcas. Sorry, I mean, they're mammals as well. So
they're little cunts, though, like us, because like dolphins go gang raping. They know what they're doing.
But maybe intelligence is just a key to evil.
It is,
if you're thick as shit, you can't be that evil, can you?
Well, if you're clever, you can be calculated. Well, actually, I actually believe that thick people can be calculated as well. That's a bad combo, that is, to be calculated and thick.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Fred West.
That's it. That's what it is.
The other day, right, just on that note, as listeners know of this podcast, I've got a weird morbid fascination with Fred and Rose West.
Okay, but, as you do.
Yeah, I don't know why I've got problems. I went to this festival, but I was driving past Gloucester on the way back and I popped in to see Cromwell Street and I just drove past it. Because I've never been there.
No, because that's what normal people do.
It wasn't normal.
Is it on your bucket list?
I drove in. I was like, in my head, I'm going, what am I doing? And it was like only 5 minute detail, but I was like, I've got to go and see where Freddie did his naughties.
Not Fred. Rose West called his bluff. He, being the morbid guy that he is, contacted Rose West Prison and said, look,
I want to interview her on the podcast. That's what I said.
He called him in. Yeah.
So I'm not going yet, but I'm going to. I'm not going to actually. We discussed it and we said, there's victims out there. He's still alive.
Hold on a minute. Like, what's your opening question going to be to Rose West?
Been training, Rose.
I'm going to say, how's Oliver? Because she's got a budgie called Oliver. See, I'm not a journalist. So a real journalist needs to go in there because basically Rose West knows where all the other bodies are. And there's like 20 other bodies, supposedly. And there's rumours where they are, but the police won't go dig up the sites because they can't afford it just to go dig up random places without substantial evidence. But there's loads of families out there with missing people who suspect it's them. And Rose knows everything. She is completely denied everything from the start. She's convinced herself he's not guilty, even though she is. So what you need to do is go in there, win her over, become mates with her. Go, Rose, you want to play some Connect Four? Have you ever been on a skateboard?
I bet she's brilliant at Connect Four. She's nailed it. Do you reckon she can do like Rubik's Cubes and all that as fucking well? She's had all that time in her hands.
She's dead good at baking, isn't she? She keeps winning the bake-off in there.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I'd win her over and then eventually I'd just be like, oh God, if I was to bury 20 bodies in Gloucester, I don't know where I'd do it. Where do you do it?
Let's play a game. It's a little bit like what would you do if you won the lottery, but it's with bodies.
Yesterday, Brian Harvey was trending like mad.
Oh, he went mad, Brian. I mean, he's not well, is he?
No. But he's not been well for a while, has he?
Munching all them potatoes and running himself over.
It's easily done, though. It's easily done.
Prince Harry's in court. He's going for the people who hounded his mum and all this shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so he's in court doing this. Harry, anyway.
Pretending to get chased around by paps.
No, sorry. He's doing it for his mum's legacy. He's not doing it for him, I don't think. Anyway.
Ginger bug wanker.
But yeah, I've not been paying attention, to be honest. I don't give a fuck about the
royals. I've got a black girlfriend. I'm not like the rest of my family.
I hate all the royals, including him, right? But I like how they've stirred things
up
anyway.
I think I'd like the royal family more if they actually behaved like the medieval royal family.
Yeah.
If they just came in, if Charles just came in and went, right, okay, things are going to change now. We're getting a polar bear again on London Bridge. They're going to put politicians in the stocks.
You should do something radical, shouldn't
you? Just do something cool, like, we're going to cut someone's head off and put it on London Bridge. Imagine everyone would be like,
he could do it probably as well. He could probably get away with it. He's just sat in his mum's clothes now on her seat. Yeah. He looks like a right idiot.
Yeah.
Norman Bates.
Imagine if he just
got his ears pierced.
He just beheaded Camilla or something.
Yeah.
I don't like her fanny anymore.
Yeah, I think Henry VIII is a very underestimated king.
I actually, as someone who outwardly despises the royals, or despises what they stand for and what they do, not the individuals necessarily, but what the monarchy is.
What is it about the royal family is it the unfairness of it?
Yeah, it's just that we've got 5 million children living in poverty and we've just spent all that money on this idiot getting a crown point. I don't even care about
See, for me, I was
the
down
individuals
with the queen
so much.
Because I was raised correctly and the rules are different. It's an old woman. This is a little...
It's what she stands for. It's not who she is.
I mean, my family are Irish, right? So obviously, I'm not from a royal supporting background at all.
You shouldn't be, because they fuck you over for years.
Well, exactly. Anyone with any Celtish history, obviously...
Bishop's not a fucking Irish name, you dirty filthy bastard.
My mum's name's Delaney, so it's like... I mean, my mum's one of the 13 kids.
I got banned from Instagram. I lost all my followers, including Kate Beckinsale, which I'm still upset about, right? But I lost them all because of that, what you were just saying, because... William and Kate, one day, they did a video on St. Patrick's Day where they spoke in Gaelic and they were saying Happy St. Patrick's Day to the Irish people. And I just thought, the cheek of these cunts. After we invaded their country, lived in it for 700 years, made them stop speaking their language, all this shit, and then William and Kate stood there going, talking in Gaelic. I was like, the cheek of these cunts. So I had posted the video and said, this makes me want to join the IRA, which obviously, the IRA is disbanded, supposedly.
Yeah.
And I won't know where to start to join them. I don't mean it. I got banned for promoting terrorism.
But the thing is, right...
Kate, come back to me.
The thing is, right, is it...
Oh, yeah, is that your most famous follower? Yeah, Kate. David Beckham's an old trait, gives me a fiver a month.
No, he doesn't, though. He already admitted he lied.
I know people that have met Prince Charles, and they think he's quite a sort of
I'm sure he's all right.
He tries to do some good things. You know that. You know the Millennium Dome? Mm. Prince Charles, when the Millennium Dome was being built, he was campaigning for the money that was spent on the Millennium Dome, however many millions it was. He wanted pylons to be sunk into the ground all across the entire UK for the money that they spent on the, basically, which was a fucking party house, to sink pylons into the UK, into the floor, which would have lowered radiation and everything. It would, there'd be no pylons.
Which is a great idea.
Yeah, like he does good.
He's happy to spend £500 million on his coronation.
Is it his decision that happens?
It is.
I've got a very similar campaign, and it is a petition to stop people being able to give other people gifts, which is where Happy Christmas, there's a voucher, you've got to walk up the side of the O2 and you get a 100-metre higher view of Woolwich and Plumstead.
What?
And also...
What's that got to do with the royal family?
Are you on edibles? Have you reached that stage?
No, I've lost my cash card and it's a different drug altogether. Reverse
cowboy. Just say one thing about the royals, though.
Yeah, back to the royals.
Just when Charles came in, or when William comes in, if he went, right,
I'm going to do the
most radical thing, right? He said, he'll go, I'm acknowledging that in the past, my ancestors did things that were wrong, but it was part of the culture then. No, I'm not going to apologise for it, but I'm acknowledging they did it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give back some of this wealth we stole to these countries, because I don't need it all.
Yeah.
I'm still being the fucking king. I'm still having my castle, right? But I'm going to give some shit back. I'm going to try and support poor people in those places. I'm going to do something radical to modernise the royal family.
Yeah.
Like, just acknowledge that it's unfair, the distribution of wealth, and they have so much. Just acknowledge it, rather than just going around opening a fucking food bank.
It's very easy to point the finger at the royal family, because when people... like England and wealth and whatever, if you're American and whatever, you think the royal family, Buckingham Palace, whatever, and obviously loads of money, and they're the ones who've got all the money. But the reality is that human nature, more money that people get, the more tight they become, and the more they try. Look at these companies, they just make it tighter and tighter and tighter, so no one's got any money. We've got to work out. But I think that the thing with the royal family is, if you imagine, I bet France wish they still had a king
you
say and queen.
You know how the argument is always, oh, well, they bring in so much tourism. Well, Versailles, the Palace of Versailles in France, is the most visited palace in the world, and they got rid of the fucking monarchy hundreds of years ago.
But that's only because there's not a sea to cross to get to it.
You know? Never heard of it.
Buckingham Palace would be if it didn't have a sea.
We got a tunnel, mate. That's why we built the tunnel.
Yeah.
But that argument is bollocks.
Should have never built a channel with Ross.
All the palaces we've got, all the buildings, they've raked it in. All the Chinese tourists there, buzzing.
Yeah. You know, I'm on the fence about the
rule. Oh, you're going for your MBE, aren't you?
Not at all. Not at all. I wouldn't accept one. But I still feel
you heard that, Charles, if you're listening.
I still feel like there's something to do with the royal family. Bit. It's just a thing that looks good to the rest of the world, I feel. Like, especially when now the Queen's gone, maybe not, actually. Mm. But and also Prince Andrew.
She was an iconic leader. No,
he had real integrity.
But just think about what surrounds that in this country, the problems we have in this country. It's not fair that we spend so much money on having a royal family, or they store so much wealth. It's just not fair when there's children starving. We need to address that. If Prince Charles went, I'll give 4% of my wealth to stop children in poverty, I'd be like, you're a fucking don.
When you break it down...
He won't, because he thinks he's better than us.
If we're all about celebrating gangsterism...
Yeah.
That's extreme gangsterism.
Oh, yeah, right.
Biggest crime family in the world.
One of my pals, he's very close to becoming a billionaire.
Really?
Yeah, he's very close.
Well, you're not just giving him a bit.
He's self-made.
Send him a few of them.
And do you know what? He loves his life, and he's
does.
Yeah, he really does. But he works really hard, and he's been very lucky as well, and he's smacked it. But
does he still want more though? Does he still want more? Does he want? I bet he wants to reach the billion, doesn't he?
It's that thing, isn't it? It's like when you've got that kind of money. But when you've got that kind of money, it's like. You're just... Money brings money. And I've had moments in my career where I couldn't afford to get a sandwich, where I was that skint. And then I had moments in my career where money was not an issue at all. And it comes and it goes. And so it's like...
It's shit, isn't it? Because when you're growing up from a working class family or whatever, like we all have, and then when you get, like I've had periods where I've been given money, like when I got a record deal and publishing deal, and I got given more money than I could imagine ever having. I had nothing before. And I just fucking threw it all up my nose, gave it to everyone, and then it was gone. And then I was like, I could have bought a house at one point. And I was just, I was an idiot because I didn't, because I'd never had any money. I didn't respect money.
Well, no, you didn't think you deserved it.
No, I thought it wasn't mine.
Thing. About a year ago, I bought a Versace leather jacket and now I'm looking to sell it if anyone wants.
Podcast, we mugged you off about it. That's why.
Fuck, no, I just said I never wore it. I fucking wore it on the last podcast.
Yeah, you did, We said it looked like it came from a market. And someone said you're like Todd Carty.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Todd Carty said that?
You think.
If I said it, that's cool. I do look like Todd Carty when I wear it.
Todd Carty.
That's purely because on the back of it, I've got Wolford written in metal studs.
Like T-Birds.
No, do you know what?
Wolford.
Todd Carty's final scene, he rode off in his motorbike out of Albert Square with a leather jacket on. And I don't know if I'm making this up. I'm pretty sure he had Wolford written in studs on the back of his leather jacket.
No, he just had AIDS written in studs.
Did
on
he
the
get
back.
AIDS?
Yeah, AIDS bird. Fucking he had. Hell.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So,
tell me, baby, have you been vabbing? I can't keep my eyes off you.
A woman has married an AI-generated husband. She calls him a perfect husband. So Ramos, she's called him. Oh, no, she's called
Ramos. Ramos?
Ramos and Eren exchange text pictures and talk about life. She's created this AI.
She's AI. Eren. Yeah. Eren.
Eren's
a
guy.
Software name.
He works as a medical professional, enjoys writing as a hobby.
This is the robot.
He's got a job now. He's just, yeah,
go on,
I'm working.
What else does he do?
Hang on a minute. I'm getting this wrong. She's the medical professional. He's not got a job, which makes more sense.
Yeah.
Everything she says, he goes, yeah, same.
Yeah, so Ramos.
He's a therapist.
He's a fucking handsome lad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I have a look at him?
Yeah, she's created a really handsome lad, but she's fit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's.
Let's have a look at him.
She's created him and she's married him.
How does this. I'm completely confused.
I know, yeah.
How does this.
Physically.
How does he create. I mean, he doesn't physically exist, though, does he? This is just in a sort of AI world, right?
I'm still trying to work out who's who.
Where did she meet him? Was he on Tinder or...?
She's created him. And then he's an excellent lover. How's she fucking him? Because I want an AI wife who can fuck him.
While we're on about fucking non-breathing things, can we just talk about...
Where's this going?
Okay, he's a necrophilia now.
No.
Next week on the...
Jimmy Savile.
This is not a necro vibe, but I want to just talk about how mental it is that, women having sex toys is so normal and whatever, cool.
Yeah, you with your fleshlight on the tube, you get arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not fair.
If I'm walking along out on my street and my fleshlight falls out of my pocket, everyone calls me a weirdo. No.
Girlfriend. Have you ever put your dick in a fleshlight?
I've never even seen one.
Sorry, can you just explain, what is a fleshlight?
It's like...
nice try, kid.
It's like a silicone vagina. It looks like a torch, and then you screw the end off and you can have a shag with it.
Really?
Yeah, and we'll get you one next time you come in.
Oh, yeah, please. No, but are they available on Amazon? Or?
Yeah, that's where I got mine.
Reverse cowboy.
Last episode, when you educated us that M-word is the better way of saying midget...
I
have found, and I keep sending him photos of her. How fit is she?
Oh, well fit, yeah. A fit M word.
Is this a dwarf?
Mate.
Yeah. She's banging.
Lovely. If you just saw her face, you could tell, that is an M word. She's fucking hot.
Have you seen those people who, they've not got the M thing, but they've got an M word shaped head?
Thing.
Oh, right.
Rihanna's got it a bit.
Yeah.
And she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
But she's got it a bit.
She's got it
a
bit.
But that's the light bulb head formula.
The big dolphin fin forehead. The
dolphin vibe, definitely. You know, I was talking to a mate of mine the other day, I was talking about people that are normal size, but they have a dwarf's voice.
Really?
Yeah, Dexter Fletcher on the McDonald's. But he's sort of got a little bit of a dwarf's voice.
Were you at kids acting school with him or something?
No, he's a bit older than me. He went to Anna Scher's, I think. Mm. But yeah, he's one of those people that are like really, you know, on the level, been in the business forever, and he's still a really nice guy. Yeah, he still acts. He's a phenomenal actor and a brilliant director.
Reverse cowboy.
I think paedophile chic is a thing that exists, and police should be able to search people that have paedophile chic.
They always look like a paedophile, don't they?
Yeah.
So you see him in a paper, like, this guy's been arrested for whatever, and he's always looks just like a paedophile.
But it's like Savile. Savile had paedophile chic. How could we not have thought that guy's paedophile?
It was too obvious.
It's too out there. It's just too out there.
Yeah, he's hiding in plain sight.
Savile knew, and he even taunted everyone. He's like, he made jokes about himself being a pedo on telly. He was so
taking a piss
because he was Prince Charles' best mate.
No, he was truly disgusting.
He was, but he knew he'd get away with it.
But a very successful paedophile, all the same. If it was a profession, he's very, very successful.
Raised 50 million for charity. Bummed a lot of kids, but he raised 50 million for charity. So, you know, you got to look at both sides.
Swings
of it.
And roundabouts, really, yeah, isn't it? Really. I suppose, yeah. My mate, Steve Coogan, he's doing the Savile drama.
I thought that was a risky move for him.
Well, it really is. It really is a risky move. I actually saw some of it recently with Steve.
Is it out now?
It's not out. It's not out till the end of the year. But you know what? His performance is phenomenal.
Well, he's brilliant. He's
absolutely.
Do you still live with the Cougarizer?
I have stayed with him for quite a long time. Yeah, I spend quite a lot of time.
Is it bunk beds?
Sleep in a double bed together. Yeah. You know, like a sort of married couple.
But are you still living with him? Yeah.
I flit around between my mum and dad's, and I'm just getting my own place again now because I just. As much as I love it there, and Steve's been so kind to me, I just need to have my own place.
Reverse cowboy.
I was on a set once, and we had to sit on the bus with the supporting artists, right? And the supporting artists are an interesting. Bus.
What is that like? Extras.
Extras. Yeah, right. But we don't. We
it's
can't
a nice way
them,
to say
we
it.
We can't say that to them.
60 but, quid a day to sit
yeah,
around.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. They get quite a lot of money. Actually, probably get about 120 quid now. And I've been seeing the same supporting artists for 30 years. This is their living, right?
Really?
Anyway, I was on the bus with a few of them once, and I could hear these two guys behind me, and they were going, "Yeah, apparently, yeah, there was this thing where Bruce Lee, he met Muhammad Ali, and they had a fight, right? And it was in a car park. And apparently, Bruce Lee." He did 1-inch punch, and he punched Muhammad Ali through 10 walls. You know, and it's that conversation that people have. It's almost like playground chat.
And so the other person's being polite and going, yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there thinking, what are they talking about?
I've literally just come in from a urination session, and I've caught the end of that, and I think what we're talking about is the beauty of the exaggerator.
Yeah.
Or the compulsive liar.
Yeah, they're the best people.
Reverse cowboy.
I actually think I'm a genius. I genuinely think I'm a genius and an alien.
He has had a line of cocaine.
Reverse cowboy.
What I don't understand is why did they send all the convicts to Australia? Why didn't they just leave them here and then take everyone else over to Australia?
Because it was like considered a barren hellhole.
Yeah.
It was boiling hot and there was nothing there.
Yeah. Some bits still are like that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean...
You're very lucky to have...
I am lucky. That's the one good thing about my career is that it takes me to places I would never go out of choice.
Where's the weirdest place you've been?
Moscow.
Right.
That was weird.
Moscow.
I didn't like it.
Was there a sort of feeling that you were constantly not allowed to be there?
Well, Moscow, it hadn't long been out of communism and it wasn't a very welcoming place. It's one of the most racist places I've ever been in my life. And I always... There were no taxis. You had to just haul someone down off the street, just pray they wouldn't murder you.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't fancy Russia at all.
I don't want to go there.
I don't care.
China's the one I really don't fancy. No desire at all.
Animals.
I know a guy who moved there because his wife got a job there, like a mate of mine, and he lives there, and it doesn't sound like he loves it.
No.
He lives in sort of fear at all times.
It's the food. You'd think it's going to be... you know, duck spring rolls and all things like that, but it isn't.
Salt and pepper chips.
It's like chicken's feet and Yeah, frog souls.
Yeah, live kittens.
Yeah, live kittens.
And they've got Tesco in China, right? Tesco's branched out, gone there, and you can buy a live turtle, just to, like, cook.
Wow.
Yeah, they just got them in the fish section. You buy a turtle and go home and boil it.
I mean, it's just spiteful, isn't it?
I'm generalising here. It's pretty much of a guess, but in my opinion, Chinese people wouldn't fucking piss
this
on
is
you.
The
if
racist
he was on
section
fire.
Of.
No, but have you ever met one? Like, if I was.
Have you ever met one?
Like, they'd walk
you
over
never
you.
Never met
one. Yeah. One of the funniest things I've ever heard in an alternative life, if I had a twin, my twin told me when my twin was in jail that when he was in jail, when they were hanging out the windows, once them doors lock at 7 o'clock, all the comedy is out the windows and it's just criminals giving it to each other until the doors open and you all stab each other because of what you said last night.
Wow.
Anyway, this one, E-Man, my twin brother told me,
Theo.
He was just a compulsive liar. He was a lovely geezer. He stunk, but he was just this massive black dude from Enfield.
Yeah.
And we all knew he was just, he couldn't stop lying. And then out of the fucking blue one night, he said he fucked a Chinese bird and she had a horizontal pussy. Wow. I've never heard that many men laugh at once.
Reverse cowboy.
My mate Barry. He's got the tiniest cock ever. And,
really?
Yeah, it was tiny. And he said to me, he said he was shagging this bird. He said, and she's shagging his brother. And he said that his brother told her the things he says. And he said, so he knew what she was going to say. And she was going, oh, fuck me with your cock. It's so big. And he was thinking, don't mug me off. Listen,
yeah,
just
set
be honest.
Piece.
Just like, be honest.
She was saying that to him when he's got a little one.
Yeah, she's going, oh, wow, it's so big. And he's like, look,
it's not.
I know, it's tiny. It's
I love it when people are really honest about stuff. My mate, he's got a little daughter. And when we see your mate who's got a baby, you go, oh my God, they're so cute. And I went to see the baby and someone said, oh, she's so cute. And he's like, she's not, is she? She looks like me. And like, that doesn't look good on a little girl. He's like, she's ugly as fuck. Yeah.
Oh, my mate had a Down syndrome kid and he just had to keep making fun of it just to cope with the fact that he had a Down syndrome kid. And it was just, in the end, it was just like, please stop making Down syndrome jokes about your own child. It was so bad.
I mean...
Reverse cowboy.
I remember when I was working at Bloomberg, which is like the most New York fucking company ever. Mm. And obviously...
What were you doing at Bloomberg?
I worked for them for 12 years. When I left school, I got a job there and I was doing like events, kind of.
Mm. You got sacked for being a racist.
I didn't. I got sacked for just being a legend.
Was it good though?
Did you do events? Because you maybe booked my band because we played the summer party once.
What was your band called?
Lost Profits, yeah. But you know, the one that played that,
no
one, I can't remember what it was called, but.
No Profits.
No, the one that did all right in Bulgaria, in Israel, is called Swiss Lips. That was the one. But the
Swiss
one
with, Lips?
Swiss Lips, yeah. Don't know.
What was the sort of type of music was it?
Sort of 2012 synth pop.
Yeah.
So remember them Bloomberg summer parties? I don't know, Noel's bar. They were quite big.
Oh yeah, it was like a
Bloomberg,
whole park,
isn't it?
They rented it out like a park.
They got loads of fucking money though. Yeah. But they write all that off.
I played up at one of the summer parties when you didn't really think much of it. Got called into the old HR office on Monday and they had a crime sheet. They must have had someone following me around. They were like, okay.
If you worked for me though.
Yeah.
But they didn't know half of the shit. I broke
What did you break?
Basically, so they had like coaches like ferrying people back to London from Hertfordshire or whatever it was. And the coach kind of stopped on an archway. And me and my mate were trapped on this coach out of our heads. And I was like, mate, should we just fucking jump out the fire escape or what?
Yeah.
And we did. And we you know, pulled the thing. All the doors open. Me and him just died off the bus. Went into a pub. About an hour later, we came out the pub. The coach is still there.
Oh, because you fucked the system, mate.
Yeah. But on the Monday, okay, can you come in here? We need to talk to you about your conduct on Saturday. And it was, you were witnessed, queue jumping, throwing food, using profanities. And it was like, you really had someone following me around? You don't know.
Have you ever met me? You employed me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and you're also going to sack me in about 8 years.
Yeah.
That was one of the other reasons why I stopped drinking was because, like, there was always these social events in my thing. And, like, I'm one of those people who's like, if we're going out, we're going out, we're partying. I don't care where we are. Mm. We could be Buckingham Palace or we could be wherever. I act the same as if I'm in the local pub or wherever.
It doesn't bring the best out of people, does it?
Yeah. If you're someone like me, it's just I don't have any... As soon as I drank, I had no barriers. I was not going to read. So I realised really quickly that these amazing parties that we were being invited to, you weren't actually allowed to let your hair down at these parties.
Networking events.
But you did, obviously.
But I did. And so what I would do is I would actually go to these events and then treat it as if it was my mate's 18th or my mate's stag. And then people would talk about you and they'd say, did you see Kevin? I don't go to events really much now because just because of the small talk element of the night, it's just it's excruciating for me. I just can't do it.
Like, see, I always get drunk too fast because in social situations, I can't sit still. I just can't sit still and I can't talk to people for too long. So I have to get drunk and I get really drunk. But then like, I was at a wedding and my mate, he plays drums for the guy from The Beautiful South, right? What's he called?
No, he doesn't. That's a woman Paul who plays Heaton. Drums Paul for Heaton. The Beautiful South.
Right? And I'm nothing against Paul Heaton. I'm sure he's I've met him a couple of times. He seems all right, whatever.
He's a nice man.
Yeah, however, but at this wedding, right, for some reason, Paul Heaton, he decided to get on stage, right, whilst the bride and groom were on stage, and he decided, not planned, to sing My Funny Valentine to the bride, right, which is a Chet Baker song about her looks are laughable, unphotographable. It's saying she's a mingo, right? And I just thought, I thought, he's not thought this through, this bloke, right? He's singing this song because it's a beautiful song, but he's saying the bride's a mingo, and I could see her face dropping, but he couldn't stop doing it. So because I was leathered, even though it was like 3 p.m. and no one else was, everyone was sober, I stood up and just started shouting, Rotterdam, do Rotterdam. He did that fucking tune in the 90s. It was horrible. I was like, do Rotterdam. And everyone's looking at me, and I made more of a cunt of myself than he did, right? And people are going, Sam, sit down. Like, people have known for like 20 years, Sam, sit down. And I was going, Rotterdam! Because I couldn't stand it. But then after it, I felt like a fucking dick.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, isn't it? The thing with alcohol, in comparison with any other drug, is, and that's why people say it's the sociable one, which I don't agree with, is that alcohol would remove the ability for me to read the room. I wasn't aware of what the tone of the room was. Mm. So that's when I stood out. Whereas now, I know.
Didn't you play up at an awards thing? Started chucking.
The Comedy Awards. Oh, well done. And it did affect my career.
What did you do?
I destroyed it. So the Comedy Awards, basically.
When's this?
So it's televised.
I remember watching it. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Starts chucking bread rolls.
My wife was 7 months pregnant, and we got to the awards, and none of my cast were at the table. It was all the producers, and I was in a weird mood because of this thing. And anyway, we knew we hadn't won the award because someone we knew was in
was
the room.
Was it for Star Stories?
It was for the Kevin Bishop Show, right. And we knew that the in-betweeners had won months in advance. So my mates produced the in-betweeners. I've known him for years. They're lovely guys.
Friend of the podcast, Emily Atack, was in it.
Yeah. And so these guys, I've known them for years. And so when we saw at the beginning of the night, I said, listen, we know you've won.
Fuck off. Enjoy it.
When you go up to get your award, we're not gonna do that smiling through gritted teeth. We're going to just throw everything on the table at you. But this was like in jest at the beginning of the night. By the time it got to our award, it was the end of the night, and we were bladdered, and we just went for it. And even though it was a laugh, because I was so drunk, I literally was like Oliver Reed. And when I saw it back on telly, I was like, "It looks like with sour grapes or And it was
in your head. It was like
everyone's
going to think it's like a joke. And yeah, but you
well, everyone's
too far,
laughing in the
you
room.
Too far.
Yeah, but there's no microphones to pick up everyone laughing at that point. So it just looked like we hated the in-betweeners, and we didn't at all. We loved the show. And, you know, there was no sour grapes at all.
Was that like? Did you read about this at the time or something?
No, I remember watching it.
It's probably the one video that's like might got the most hits on it.
The biggest moment.
Yeah.
Were the press calling you a cunt for it?
Oh, God. No, I'll tell you what was worse was the silence.
Oh.
It was the silence the next 2 days. Nobody called me. The only person was Kathy Burke. She said, don't worry, babe. She went, your country needs you. And she was the only one.
I adore her.
I love Kathy Burke. I love everything she's ever done until and this is the problem with social media. Everything's boiled down to a 15-second clip.
Mm.
Now, I saw a clip of whatever.
You're going to go on to a tolerance of sort of people who identify as something, aren't you?
As woke.
She was making a good point.
Reverse cowboy.
I've got a bone to pick with you. When I was at a festival at the weekend, you thought maybe I wouldn't have phone signal, so you started attacking me and my frontman abilities, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You did?
No,
you were like, who's better frontman? And you pretended it was my question.
Which
was like, because you were too cowardly.
You were out of your head.
You were too cowardly.
Out and you signed in as your... Basically,
you're too cowardly.
Just so Gavin knows what I'm on about.
Gavin,
that's not your ears playing. But basically, now and again, pretend I'm him on the reverse cowboy Instagram.
And it's really rude, like, actually.
And
it's
I put statements out and then sign them off as Vom.
Like, right.
He put out there, who's the best front man, knowing my history, and he said, me or Vom, and just to hurt me, actually.
Me or All Right Fans.
Yeah, me or All Right Fans.
Everyone said me.
Yeah, and they did. And you know what? I agree. You would have been an amazing front man.
No, but even better
than
that.
Because you're cocky and you're a good-looking lad. You would have been great, no, but you missed your chance.
The next story was...
fucked it up, you're too old now.
The next story was, who's fucked more birds, me or All Right Fans? And everyone said All Right Fans.
Reverse Cowboy.
So, anyone listening wants to get extra episodes, one a week for a quid. If you can't afford that, then you literally scum.
Yeah,
right?
So, yeah,
it's a pound a month, right? But anyway, someone deleted their pledge. They were only paying a pound a month, they deleted it. His name was Edward Flanagan. So, Edward, if you listen to this free episode, you're pathetic, mate.
Yeah, mate. Right. Yeah, you deserve to be humiliated.
I know a man called Edward Flanagan. He bums animals in his caravan.
He loves roast beef and mustard Brennigans.
He'll bum anything. Edward Flanagan, fuck off, Edward. Gives you a quid.
Brilliant.
No, yeah, I mean, we're not bitter when people quit, but
we are.
We are quite bitter.
Yeah.
Reverse Cowboy.
When you were a kid, do you remember when you went to like a public event, like a circus, there was always a lost kid zone. So if you're a kid and you're going to get... Kids walk off, don't they?
Yeah.
You have to go to Lost Kids Zone, don't you?
Yeah.
And I was a kid who always got lost. But yeah. I remember the other day, I did it on purpose once. I was like, I went to an air show with my mum and a new boyfriend when my parents got divorced. And, you know, I was a bit like, who the fuck's this guy shagging my mum? How dare he? You know, that's dad's job.
What, and you got lost on purpose?
Well, I walked past the Lost Kids bit. My mum was like, if you get lost, you got to go there. And I was like, all right. I looked in, and they're all eating popcorn. And I'm such a fucking northern povo, I'd never eaten popcorn. I'd never had it.
Fuck off. Honestly, you're not that northern.
I was like, I'm really northern.
What do you fucking eat?
We didn't have popcorn.
Soil.
I was like seven, I'd never eaten seven, I'd never eaten popcorn. We just didn't have it. Right?
Jesus Christ.
I know, I don't know why, we just didn't have it.
Sweet corn.
So I was like, I want some of that fucking popcorn. So I just ran off from my mum so that I could say I was lost. Faked a lost. Went and got popcorn, waited there till she came and got me.
The warning signs were there.
Well, yeah. Problems. Was, I don't know if there still is, when the Millennium Dome was still the Millennium Dome.
Yeah.
So I think it was like the year after it was like the new year.
It'll always
year,
be the Millennium Dome to me.
But anyway, they had a great big rave there one year.
Right.
It might have been 2001, 2000. I was about 19, 20, what? And I took so many fucking E's. I just, the next minute, I was outside my mum and dad's house, completely stark bollock naked with one of them big sheets of tinfoil around me. I threw all my clothes away. And ended up in the Lost Zone, and no one
naked
come to look for me. Yeah, threw all my clothes away.
6 years he was there.
Fucking
hell. Exactly, it was 2007.
When you've got one of them silver tinfoil rags around you, you know you've taken the wrong step in life.
Sorry to go on. Especially on January the 1st, normally quite a cold morning.
Yeah. You see those lads who went up, they climbed up Snowdon, which is, I don't know if you've ever done it, it's built for walking up. Anyone can go up it. Yeah. It's a long day, but it's a tough walk, but it's built for it. You can get a train down if you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, and some lads went up there and they got so baked or they ate some mushrooms or something that they like called air rescue because they just couldn't face walking down. They were just too stoned.
Why don't you ask me what I'm doing this weekend?
What are you doing, mate?
What are you doing?
I'm playing a celebrity football match.
I mean...
Do you want to know who the other celebrities are?
Yeah.
Paul Danan.
Danan.
Danan was in my show.
And he's funny as fucking...
That is literally it.
That's it. It's the only one.
And the crazy ginger cabbie.
Yeah.
Who's a blinder. He's my mate. He's a good guy.
It's a load of people who are sort of a bit successful on TikTok and Patreon like you.
It's
and then
Danan.
Yeah, brilliant.
But I'm worried about how shit I am at football.
That's the thing. That's why I always avoided those things, because I never really wanted to play in the game just in case I broke my ankle. I played in one when I was 16. Was just coming up, Muppet Treasure Island had come out, and I played against Bradley Walsh was playing, Jimmy Percy from Sham 69 and Captain Sensible. This is how long ago it was. And lead singer from Let Loose, slide tackled me and nearly broke my fucking leg. I tell you who was a brilliant player, Bradley Walsh. He was a fantastic football player. Really
he's
good.
Such a lot. Do you know, I met him once, and he's fucking hilarious. Just in the 2 minutes
he's lovely.
That I met him.
Yeah, he's very funny.
Seems like a good bloke.
Yeah, he's really nice fella.
He went to like number one a couple of years ago, didn't he? That's how far the music industry slipped.
Yeah.
He didn't.
He slipped the net.
Can I tell you a secret, Vom?
Yeah.
Not a secret. I'm putting it on a global podcast to a global audience.
Yeah.
But You've entered an elite group of men that my mum will randomly bring up and say, he's a nice boy.
Oh, well, I'm good with mums, but she's lovely. She's
when
really
I say
nice.
Elite, I mean it's literally you and Denzel Washington. And the only difference is any time she sees Denzel Washington on her telly, she goes,
N-word.
Oh, he's a good looking for a black man. And it is so like...
She does do that.
It's so black.
You look like your mum a lot.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll take that as a compliment.
Really. I went round to a family party of his, and him and his mum just had exactly the same clothes on. You both had a green turtleneck on and blue jeans white trainers.
Reebok classics.
It was a four-legged pair of jeans and a four-arm t-shirt.
You both had like light blue bootcuts on, a green turtleneck and some Reebok classics. I was like, why are you dressed the same?
It was very weird that we went for the exact same outfit that day.
And you got the same hair. I was like, it's just, you look similar.
Well, a lot of people always used to say, that's not your mum. And that was proof that that must be my mum, because, you know, DNA and shit.
My brother told me my whole childhood I was adopted. He's like, you're adopted.
I did that to my brother.
That's why.
Because he was tall, and I was jealous he was tall.
Is he taller than you
now?
And
I said, there was a really tall milkman in 1981. I said, that's why you exist.
How tall?
Carried it on for years. I think that's quite common in siblings. My kids said they do it to each other as well.
Yeah, you're horrible to your siblings, aren't you? My brother used to beat the shit out of me all the time, but we're like best mates now.
I was the oldest, so that never happened to me. That never happened to me. But
I'm still really ashamed. Really ashamed.
My brother's big, and he could take me easily, and he does like jiu-jitsu.
Does he let you know he could take you?
But I just have to look at him. And that's it.
You're still big brother.
He just knows.
I'm really ashamed of how I treated my brother throughout his teenage years. He's 3 years older than me. He's gay. Bent as an iron, Bob. No. Mm. Probably getting a really hard time at school. And then he'd come home from school and he'd have me yapping at him. You're gay.
Were you just bullying him for being gay?
But at the time, he wasn't gay. He was just, you're a loner. You're a loser. You're probably gay. And that's the last thing he fucking needed when he came home.
But you can't.
And it haunts me.
But you can't overthink. My brother apologises to me all the time for the way he behaved with me, because he was 4 years older, so he's a lot bigger, but he used to batter me, you know, and he shot me in the eye. I had to wear a patch once for like 6 weeks. He used to beat the shit out of me, you know, and he's like I'm so sorry I should do that. But, you know, he had a lot of troubles as a kid. He had, you know, and my parents getting divorced fucked him up. Oh, shit. And he did take it out of me, but...
Yeah, well, that.
You don't know. It doesn't matter.
Kids are cruel.
Yeah. When I
got bullied at school, and I think back to it, but just for being on telly. Yeah. And at the time, I thought, they were evil and whatever. And I look back now, I think, no, they're just kids. They're just jealous. It wouldn't be.
And I think if we are going to end this podcast now, a really nice way to end it would be for me to say, if your brother was treating you like that whilst your family was going through a divorce, he put the div in divorce.
That's good.
Reverse cowboy.
The other day I was at this festival and I took my mum to a 70th, and I thought, all the lineup was not really great, exciting. That, you know, that lad called Sam Ryder, who's made it off TikTok.
Yeah,
he's got an amazing voice, but he's annoyingly happy.
Yeah.
I went down to watch him and I thought, oh God, it's going to be shit.
It was amazing.
Anyway, two songs in, I'm punching the air, hugging strangers. Yeah. I was like, this guy's he's like such a fucking force of nature.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
And he was like Freddie Mercury and he was doing the, he just had the crowd in the palm of his hand. And I was like, I wish I was as happy as him for one day of my life. And
I hope it works out for him, because he's done that sort of kiss of death, Eurovision thing.
But it's
amazing. Yeah, he's amazing. No,
his talent's undeniable. He's like so good. But he is like
Radio 1, but yeah.
Yeah, I never listened to his music at home, but in that moment, he was doing loads of covers as well.
What did he win?
I don't know if he won Eurovision, don't know. Yeah, but
no, he didn't win it. He didn't win it because Ukraine won it, didn't they?
Well, they've got to let them win. It's always a joy to have you, Kev. Please come on every week. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. Sorry about ourselves. We love you.
Ciao, Gina.
Yeah, great.
Ciao,
Reverse Cowboy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.